Okay, just in case I need to tell this to someone. You know, in case someone starts, you know, saying or doing things out of the ordinary, as you call it, people tend to flock around the person and start, you know, to iconize and, oh, Guruji, this. I mean, we've seen that. Everything from what's going on within religious movements and in sports and wherever, politics. All the bestseller self-help gurus and so on. But I'm just saying, and I'm saying this now, lying on my sofa and having maybe 50 views on each of my Swedish podcast, you could call it. I don't really know how I speak English here, but this is more for those who are on the producer side, so to speak, and those who are my friends, actually. Yeah, I'm actually speaking to my friends. Oh, my friends now, April 2024, and whoever, you know, get 50 views or something, and Bhaktanidhi gets double that, and I'm happy for him. You know, they started making this little Radio Krishna podcast, and so I'm speaking these words. The 21st or something of April 2024 in my sofa, hereby declaring that should I in the future ever, and I had this discussion with a friend of mine years ago, and he said, I'm so happy, very nice devotee parampara in Finland. I mean, you know, a dear friend of mine, although we don't meet much nowadays, it would be nice to meet more. Prabhuji. But he once said that, you know, I'm so happy I didn't end up there as an icon sitting on that high seat with all these people. That's how I remember it. He can correct me if I... But that's how I also agreed with him, that I'm so happy I didn't end up there. And we were, I mean, at least partly, well, we were building on experience of both being godbrothers, disciples of a guru who ended up in that seat, and well, he made it out alive, and I'm happy for him, and that he has a more ordinary life again, because it must be really crazy to be, well, you who are devotees, you know that, of course, to suddenly be God's representative on earth and having thousands of people throw themselves on the ground in front of you when they see you and serve you with their heart and soul. I mean, what a responsibility. But then also sometimes not seeing you the way you are, actually, but the figurehead, the persona, the role there you have to play It must be really tough. So I'm happy I never ended up in that position. I don't want that. I want to try to avoid that. But you know, let's say Krishna makes someone of us, as was the first thing I was told really by Yamalaya Prabhu when I came to the temple on the Sunday feast. But you know, if you become a servant of God, God can make you do things that you couldn't do otherwise. Anything, extraordinary things. And I thought, well, that's kind of logical, so let me become a devotee of God. And that's what I've been since then for like, what is it, 45 years or so. So then, well, you know, I don't know if more people will look at my podcast there, but I enjoy looking at it over and over again, and that's a sign that I use, production-wise, so to speak, as a writer and producer, that if I like to look at it, then, you know, it's acceptable, and if I like to look at it several times, then it's probably inspired coming from, you know, somewhere higher up than from this little guy. And to make the long story short, I mean, for those 45 years, well, the first ones, of course, were mainly spent on learning the basics and all of that. But then, higher schooling took over from within there in the heart. And that was a tough ride. I once, by coincidence almost, learned to know a healer and went to her, and we were kind of exchanging services, whatever we did. And she asked me, do you want the ordinary path or the turbo path? And I said, the turbo, and I got it. And basically, I just kept losing everything. I had nothing left, basically, except my two sons and not even a home. So I went to New Radhakund, took shelter of Gandharva Giridhar, grateful that I got a little room there. That even didn't even really ask for a rent, because I had nowhere else to go. And of course, that's why I'm so happy, because I have Gandharva Giridhar, I have Krishna. So, but I learned that all these hard times were, and I'll write that, my story, a book, were meant for, and the same for us all. That's why I want to write this, and why I speak this, because I'm not extraordinary. I'm just an ordinary me, you know, just like you are you. And but we might end up in this or that position, being used for this and that. So, and when we want to just serve the Sankirtan mission, and that's all I had, and really I had given myself, offered myself to the Sankirtan mission back in 1983 or 4 or something. And that offering was accepted, and I was just belonging to this, and that's all I had left. And then, when there was nothing, when Krishna had taken away everything, basically, I thought, it would take away my life and my body, that I wasn't useful here anymore in this world. But you know, probably mother and her friends and new husband or whatever would take care of them, the boys. So I was ready to leave, basically any day, no problem, would be a relief. So that, you know, and then everything changed. After I stood there, I got the apartment. Got the boys half time. Got a job, miraculously. Stood there with a media production company. I'd had some, not big, but at least an income. Things just started going well. And I remember standing there when it was as the darkest, midwinter, standing on a little red bridge next to our house, looking out on over the frozen lake and leading out into the ocean, and thinking, my goodness, is there any future here? And there was this little voice there from within, yes, just wait. You're on top of the wave sometimes, and you know it's going to go down, and when you're on the bottom, you know it's going to go up. And I thought, well, is there no place where there are not these high waves all the time? Where the sea is calmer. I said, yes, that will come. But this is for learning. And what was a learning? Saranagati. Depend on Krishna, depend on God and Goddess. And there they were, there they are, Gandhari, Giridhari, Shishi, Gandhari, Giridhari, Shishi, Gonitai, who never left me. Who had rather stepped into my heart and stayed there, even when I was far out alone in the pitch black forest. I felt that light in there, and I started writing a book at the worst time, a book about how to be happy. So, you know, I have to just tell all this because not to, you know, look at me, what a cool story, but I'm just one of us, ordinary devotees who just wanted to serve Sankirtan best way they could. And I know then, it seems we were often just pulled out off the train, off that big railroad or highway to heaven, that a religious movement, organization, church, whatever, can sometimes become. And we found ourselves there walking on our own, having to learn how to love, learn how to depend on God, because that was the only way you could do it. Stepping out into a heavy, hard society when you were 44, and the lady at the unemployment office, when I stepped in there for the first time in my life, basically, she just looked at my papers and said, you're too old to get a job. These are the first words I heard when stepping out into that society. And I thought, you know, okay, hey, Krishna, take care of me, you know, I depend on you, you took care of me so far, you will. So the whole lesson up till today will continue to be, it's, I guess, was to just learn how to depend. Gandharaka Giridhar, just, you know, hey Krishna, like Draupadi and all the Pandavas and all, you know, just, that's the school here, it seems. And Jonah standing on the battlefield there, and perplexed, and then just depending on Krishna. That's what these stories are teaching us. And when you see these men and women who are sitting on these vyasasans and becoming idolized or guru-ized, I seriously question whether that is even useful at all. Or for doing that which we are to do, to spread Krishna consciousness, God consciousness here. And I'm saying all this because, you know, in case Krishna inspires me, which, I mean, that's what Krishna does with us, isn't it? It's not just me, but in different ways. In case I become successful at what I'm doing and I'm actually, you know, managing to reach out to many and touch their hearts with Krishna consciousness, which is all that my life is for here, then, you know, if someone comes there with the vyasasan and the dress and the, you know, and ooh, namaskar, dandavats, and, you know, I would run away. And I'm just this guy that I am here now with the 50 viewers, and especially to my friends. And I will, you can't just say, I even once did that. I spoke to one lady, an old friend, you know, saying, don't ever idolize me. And she, I don't even know where I got it from. I think it was after this discussion I had with Parampara, you know, because I was thinking about this, you know, whatever. Anything could happen. I could be dead tomorrow, or I could, you know, be some bestseller author or something, because I'm still, after all, I'm writing things, and you, who knows? And then, you know, if people come and they look at someone who is so-called successful, they became, you know, famous, this or famous, that, and and they would say, oh, you're a genius. And that's how we like to that's what I like to say to such people, right? Of course, some say it just so they can be close to that famous person and it'll rub off on them, you know. You attract that kind of crew, too. Oof, I've seen that, seen it all. I've not done it because I don't want to. And that's what me and Prabhupada was talking about back then. So, I don't care really. I could handle it, but as long as those friends, that there are actual real friends around, that the devotees who are just the same as me, going through the same things, and having their stories to tell, just as I'm telling my, just, I'm just telling my story here. They are, I mean, I'm sure, much more valuable stories. Because I'm really just, you know, a slightly lazy guy, enjoying my life, and then, you know, and I was talking about devotees who were walking and doing the greatest austerities and working so hard, selling books on the street for 10, 20 probably years. I can't understand it. Those are saints. So what I therefore want to do with this Radio Krishna at this point when I'm speaking this, we're just starting, and we did start actually, is what we call our story, where all of you devotees can get your window out on the YouTube and the podcast world. That's the least I can do. And what I really want to say here also, let's not get bewildered and illusioned by this hypnosis machine that these screens are. I used to call the television hypnosis machine, because, you know, if you actually look at and listen to what I have been saying here, all these, for instance, therapy, bhakti therapy sessions, they're just very plain, basic hypnotherapy 101, so to speak. I'm just using tools that we call them that every hypnotherapist uses, that I just adapt a bit naturally as it comes. It doesn't take a genius for that, to bhakti yoga and to the yoga path in general, meditation, you know, deep meditation, guided meditation, all that. I mean, it's nothing new there either. And I guess there are piles of people, devotees, there should be. I hope in America, for instance, they're in India, they're far ahead of us in little Sweden. So, but maybe it's just then if, you know, you look at this and go, oh, look at that, cool. It's because I happen to have been trained, you could say, by just the arrangement from above into media, how to use cameras. I was into photography since I was 10 years old or something. I just love that. I know how to use cameras. And then I had a friend who was a television professional who taught me more about how to use video cameras and make TV, you know, professional quality. It's an art you need to learn. You need to learn lighting, for instance. How to light up a scene is more important than you may believe. Like when you see me sitting, for instance, or others that I also taught from what I learned. It's a very exact science how to put the lamps right, otherwise it looks terrible and no one will be impressed. But if you get all those things right, and that's what you can learn from the TV professionals, because there's a lot of psychology behind it, then it looks like, yes, this must be true, this must be real. It gets a kind of suggestive power. And that's why I say that television is an hypnosis machine, and we should be aware of that. So if I happen to have got, you know, this knowledge how to use cameras and microphones, that's another thing. The audio is very important. So those hidden heroes sitting in the production studios, they have entire lectures on YouTube how you can equalize and compress and denoise and all of that. Audio from this or that microphone, or which microphone should you use, and this is how it should sound, and this is podcast sound. They all use the same microphone almost. So I just learned from that, because I guess I'm good at learning. When I don't know how to do something, I approach someone who knows and learn from them. It's no big deal. Now, and then you might end up there on another kind of Vyasa-san on a TV screen instead. And I think, oh my goodness, I don't want that either. For the big audience, no, okay, no problem, as long as they don't kill me or whatever. But for the devotees, for those who are just like me, actually, I rather want them also to them be on that screen, and magic will act on them too, because we are a gang. That's my point. We are a gang. We're a team. We're not, you know, sitting here waiting for the next leader or the next guru or the next Jesus Christ. We are, a real interesting, cool team of devotees on this planet still. And as long as we are around, if we can just get together and get out here on the media, things can happen. And you see, why I'm sitting here, and now I'm just speaking, but on that YouTube or in that studio, wherever I sit, I'm doing it to also demonstrate how you can do it. And I'm saying, you know, I can teach you in one day how you can get this quality of picture, and I can get the light right and the audio. You just need to invest 12,000 Swedish crowns, as it looks like now, to put it simple. And then I can make it look just like this. And I, you know, pay me some gas and I will come and give me some prasadam and I will help you. I offer that as a service. So, and then let's do it together. And just imagine how cool it would be, right? Because I know, and you know, that there are those out there, real heroes. And I want them to come and talk here, people like Pramar Navarko, Kushara Kalindapriya. And you know, I can just go on and on and on. Incredible life stories we have here. So that is, if anyone likes what I do or someone else in Radio Krishna, then the best thing you can do is not, you know, to get into some kind of that kind of idolizing mode, but to just help out so we can realize this. We can make this happen. And I'm more just kind of visionary guy. I like to paint up, this is what we could do, this is how it could look like. And if that person comes again going, oh, genius, genius, you know, you can point on, it's another one who's genius instead. And we like geniuses, right? But genius, what it means really, you know, it comes from genie, that inside spirit there, that now this genie from within is talking to him, is talking through him or her. So that's a genius, a person who is inspired by the spirit within, the genius, the genie. And who is the genie? Well, for a devotee, that's clear. It's, of course, Paramatma. So that's, and I've seen it. It's not that there are those just extremely few and exclusive souls who are, through whom Paramatma is acting. I've seen, and we have seen, and we spoke about it, you know, that, you know, look at him, he's empowered, look at her, you know, you just don't do such things by ordinary human abilities. It was Krishna. And that lecture that someone gave there, where did that come from? I mean, that's how we devotees, we live and always lived. I mean, you learn it after a few weeks, basically. And you just need to stay on that. That's Krishna consciousness, that awareness. Depend on Krishna. Krishna is there taking care. And I mean, I could and I want to, and that's why I'm writing and tell my whole life story as an evidence of that. Not because there's something special with me, but I'm a proof that, you know, even a fool comes there and surrenders to Krishna. Krishna stick to his promise, follows his promise. I will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So anyway, that's all I have to say right now. So I'm gonna start cooking for some friends who's gonna visit today.